Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading in the beautiful story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srimad Bhagavatam. And we're reading in the 11th canto, the chapter, which is a description of the Varnashram system. And we'll read 11, 12, 13 today. We can just read this one together. Vedat pranava bhagre dharmaham vrishrupadrik Upasate tapo nishta hamsamam mukta kilbishaha. Translation. In Satyayug, the undivided Veda is expressed by the syllable Om, and I am the only object of mental activities. I become manifest as a four-legged bull of religion, and thus the inhabitants of Satyayuga, fixed in austerity and free from all sins, worship me as Lord Hamsa. Purport. The bull of religion is described in Srimad Bhagavatam 1:17:24. In the age of Satya truthfulness, your four legs were established by the four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. Sri Vasudev divided the one Veda into four, the Rig, Yajur, Sama, and Atharva Veda, at the end of Dwapara Yuga. But in Satya Yuga, the whole of Vedic knowledge is easily understood by everyone simply by vibrating the syllable Om. In this age, there are no ritualistic or pious activities such as sacrifice, since everyone is sinless, austere, and fully engaged in worshiping the Personality of Godhead, Lord Hamsa, through the process of meditation. Text 12. You can all say it together. Trita muke mahabhaga panane hridayatrai vidya pradurabhutasya aham asam chirinmakaha. O greatly fortunate one, at the beginning of Treta Yuga, Vedic knowledge appeared from my heart, which is the abode of the air of life in three divisions, as Rig, Sama, and Yajur. Then from that knowledge, I appeared as threefold sacrifice. Purport. In Treta Yuga, the bull of religion loses one leg, and only 75% of religious principles are manifested, represented by the three principal Vedas, Rig, Sama, Yajur. The Lord appears in the process of threefold Vedic sacrifice. The three divisions are understood as follows. The Hota priest offers oblations into the fire and chants the Rig Veda. The Udgata priest chants the Sama Veda, and the Udhavayu priest, who arranges the sacrificial ground, altar, etc., chants the Yajur Veda. In the Treta Yuga, such sacrifice is the authorized process for spiritual perfection. The word prana in this verse refers to the universal form of the Personality of Godhead. This form is further described in the following verses. Text 3, can we repeat? Vipra kshatriya vitshudra mukha bahur bhariya vairajat purushas jhata ya atma cha lakshana. Please chant.
Vipra chakriya vichudra mukha bahur bhariya
Vipra, Brahmanas, Kshatriya, Kshatriyas, the martial class, Vit, Vaishyas, mercantile men, Shudraha, Shudras, workers, Mukha, from the mouth, Bahu, arms, Uru, thighs, Pada, and legs, Jaha, born, Vairaja, from the universal form. Purushat, from the personality of Godhead. Jataha, generated.
Yeh,
Atma, personal. Achar,
by
activities. Lakshanaha, recognized. Translation. In Treta Yuga, the four social orders were manifested from the universal form of the personality of Godhead. The Brahmanas appeared from the Lord's face, the Kshatriyas from the Lord's arms, the Vaishyas from the Lord's thighs, and the Shudras from the legs of that mighty form. Each social division was recognized by its particular duties and behavior. So we've been hearing some of the qualities of the different ages, beginning with Satya Yuga. It's continued here also today. Sounds like an unbelievable era where no one commits any sinful activities. Everyone is simply merged in thinking of Krishna. That's all that's on their mind. You see those license plates of Georgia, you know, keep Georgia on your mind or something like that. But imagine having Krishna on your mind. That's all you have on your mind. A pretty amazing place. Definitely the heavenly planet. And some of the other qualities are just described, but manifest in the form of of religiosity, in the form of the bull, our father, Dharma. And this is the austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. And in this age, almost nothing's left of those qualities. We're hearing in the next verse about Treta Yuga. One is minus. I guess we can kind of speculate that maybe, you know, the austerity is gone. But it doesn't really describe. But little by little, they disappear. To the little fraction that we have now of truthfulness, which is on its way to zero very quickly. But this austerity is spoiled by what? Who knows? Pride. Yes. And then cleanliness by illicit sex life. And mercy. Intoxication. And truthfulness. What do you hear in the paper every day? Lying propaganda. Right? Lying propaganda. So these things are all being spoiled. They're being destroyed. And you can see the effects. You know, it's actually we walk out of this door and we're in an atmosphere of sinful activities. It's everywhere around us. It's being propagated, it's being advertised, and it's being glorified in many ways, all these sinful activities. It's cool to do crazy, stupid things. But we have one saving grace. Rigatmaka reminded us that we have this chanting of the holy name, which can purge out these sinful desires and can actually purify us and save us from this onslaught that is out there. It's very important that we take this medicine. It's described in I think the G. Jago song, or maybe it's the Udalarna, about the Ashodhi Maya, that we have to take this medicine in this age. That's what we need, the holy name, to completely get rid of all this bad influence. And the more we see, the more we have kirtan, just like we just had now, you know, your mind is very happy. You're very pleased just to be in the association of devotees. It is our saving grace. In the Gitanagari prophecy, there's a long description of how this movement, how this Krishna consciousness is like opening hospitals. It's described that everyone is materially diseased, and the more we have these centers, we can actually give this medicine. We can cure these diseases that we get just by being here in this material body. And it should be rightfully open to everyone, regardless, just like we're going to be hearing in this Varanashram system, that Krishna consciousness is for everyone, and no one should be barred, no matter what other qualities they have. And so this Krishna consciousness, these centers are there to cure everybody. But many people, they don't want to commit themselves to the hospital. They don't even want to think that they might have some kind of material contamination within themselves. They're numb. I think they're just numb to the fact that they're just so contaminated, that they're living in this fantasy of enjoyment, but actually they're quite miserable. But some people, they can foresee, they can see that around them that it's actually becoming a frightening situation to live here in the material world. Just to, you know, open up the computer and read the daily news is frightening, to think that people like this with these poor qualities exist everywhere around us. And this progress is really not helping anything. It's actually making more anxiety of the future, of what we can expect of the forthcoming society, of the degradation that will happen. There's a nice quote by Sri Prabhupada that says that factory means destruction and agriculture means construction, and which is kind of the topic that I wanted to talk about today, about Varnashram, which is, you know, a big question mark for many of us, and so you'll have to bear with me, but I'm going to probably read a lot of quotations from Srila Prabhupada on this subject. Recently someone sent me a link to a New York Times article. It was called The Green School, Getting Ready for the Apocalypse. Is that how you say it? Yes. And that it's some, you know, forthcoming destruction. For us, we can understand there is going to be a change in the world, as we're hearing. The change is happening as we go from yuga to yuga. Now in Kali Yuga, it's going to progress. I think we're ahead of schedule. But this green school is in Bali. It's in the middle of the jungle. It's it promotes self-sufficiency and sustainability. It started off a very small little school, you know, completely away from everything, very simple, you know, bamboo huts and things like that. And now it has increased to over 430 students from 35 nations around the world. People are spending, you know, $15,000 a year to send their children to this school. Some of the courses are, you know, survival skills, sustainable practices, alternative fuels, experiencing living in a non traditional, unpredictable environment. They don't just learn about these things, but they actually do things. They do, like, make their own bamboo bicycles and all their own playground equipment. They build bamboo bridges on the property. They, in their spare time, they go to climate change conventions. These are kids. And they lobby the government to get rid of plastic in their local area like this. They cook on, you know, sawdust from the bamboo production around there. They eat on baskets, homemade baskets with banana leaf liners that are disposable. So many kind of far out things like this that they're promoting. And Balinese, you know, martial arts, training them in martial arts. Trying to make some green leaders. If they would just include Krishna in the center, then it would be divine. But anyway, it's a move in the right direction, and it seems like it's getting some publicity. But Srila Prabhupada, he shared a vision very similar to this, but actually it's Krishna's vision. As we're seeing here in this last verse, that Krishna's actually displaying the four varnas from his own body, from his universal form. We see the natural, you know, divisions of society, with the Brahmins the head, Kshatriyas the arms, the Vaishyas the trade, and then the Sudras as the workers. And Prabhupada wanted to really emphasize the international society, the society part for Krishna consciousness, as he expressed in the last days of his life, to institute this Varanashram. We did get some instructions, a small introduction to a wonderful way to run our society. Unfortunately, we didn't actually see the practicality of it, although Prabhupada was very pleased with what we did do. And so we can see that a lot of responsibility was left for us to figure out this type of a society. I was reading Gyanagri Prophecy the other day, and much of it has to do with how the responsibilities of the government. And the government, of course, is meant to serve the citizens, to actually make them happy, and to make sure that they're progressing, especially in our government, Vedic culture government. And Prabhupada did use that word, Vedic culture. He wanted a Vedic culture. He wanted to see us progressing, to know who God is and what his instructions are. Therefore, he actually titled it Gita Nagari, because all the instructions are there in the Bhagavad Gita. And so it's very important that we know these instructions. And therefore, this government is based on that. And so to actually please the citizens, you need to meet their demands. And there are four major demands in society. They're the physical, the mental, the social, and the spiritual needs of a society. And the physical ones, of course, are the three that Prabhupada always mentions, that we should know how to make our own shelter, we should know how to produce our own food, and to make our own clothing. So these are, if you look at your bills that you get every month, those are some of the main things that are on there, right? So many things to do just with your home and your automobile, things like that. Very, very expensive. Very taxing on us. And then, so proper land distribution should be there to actually help in this division, to relieve the pressure of even your mortgage. Actually, there was a process of giving land to all those who are working for the society, and then they are taxed 1/4 of the produce of what they're giving, in whatever form it comes. And then there's the mental, and that's considered to be the individual growth of people, the self-fulfillment of people, and especially the education. And so the Vedic culture is supposed to fulfill that by, what was I doing? Mental? Yeah. The Varnashram College, Prabhupada wanted that established to educate everybody in whatever they're inclined to do, to arrange for apprenticing or whatever higher education is needed, to to make them very useful in this society and to make them very mentally happy of what they're doing. Not that they're doing a job for 40 years out there in the material world that they can't stand to go to every day. Just so they can pay the bills that are there, that they're being forced to pay. Social-wise, so these needs are the family and the community. And the Vedic culture, of course, Prabhupada and Krishna displayed himself. The village life will satisfy these demands. And so, therefore, everyone is engaged in the social world of the communities. Everyone has a part. Everyone's feeling needed. Everyone is trained to do something to help the progress of the whole society getting closer and closer to Krishna. Then the spiritual, of course, is self-realization. And Prabhupada has established our temples and our spiritual program. Lord Chaitanya has given the holy name, like we mentioned, to project us forward, all the divisions forward towards Krishna. And if you read the Gayanagari prophecy, one of the major parts of it is that everyone, no matter who you are on the property, come daily to kirtan, either morning or evening or both. But everyone must have kirtan. That is the center that will keep us focused on Krishna. So there's a lot to organize such a government. And, of course, the Brahmins, the head, have to be there, and Prabhupada put out a lot of energy trying to wash some coal and make us Brahmins. But not everyone is Brahmins, are Brahmins. And Prabhupada realized that as time went on. He could see that there's a few letters where, I think they're to Karandar in Los Angeles, or maybe there's some other places where Prabhupada is complaining. He says, Why are you giving the, you know, recommending these students, these disciples, for second initiation? He says, they're not meant to be Brahmins. They're not even coming to Mangal Arti. That's what he said. He said that they should actually be sent to the farms to work. And so Prabhupada could see that not everyone was Brahmins, but the need is there for the Brahmins. In the Gayanagari prophecy, it actually recommends at least 12 Brahmins in each community to head the society, to figure out how to engage everyone perfectly. So in time, we have to realize that not everyone is going to be a Brahmin. So this is something that we have to deal with. Not that when we see someone come in the property with dreadlocks and kind of disheveled, thinking, oh, forget that, you know, forget him. No, we have to learn how to engage everybody. And as we move in society, we see that the Brahmins have to work very closely with the Kshatriyas. And because the Kshatriyas are not only the ones that are arranging for each person to be there comfortably in their homes and everything like that, but also they have to protect and they have to be able to manage when they're not protecting. So they have to work very closely with these Brahmins. And these Brahmins have to be very qualified, very, very superior in all their ideal qualities. And then, of course, in the Gayanagari prophecy, it says, after you establish the Brahmins and you make a temple so that everyone is focused on Krishna and everyone's coming. And then you have to arrange for education. You have to have a varnashram system where there is complete education for all the different people with different propensities. And of course it would be an agriculturally based society, so your vaishyas would be there producing so many wonderful things. Nice example of this community, is Hungary. I don't know how many people have been there, but I've been there. And it's very much self-sustaining, and it does have these different divisions, and it works very nicely, a beautiful temple, and everyone is very committed to that project and to keep it very pure. So it takes at least 100 people for such a unit to really happen, and it's a big challenge to actually live in this type of an atmosphere, of a village type atmosphere. Here's a quote here. So at least those who are Krishna conscious, they should be satisfied with simple life in the village. Develop it more and more. Krishna personally showed us the example. Krishna is so fond of that Vrindavan village life with his cowherd boys and cowherd girls, his gopis, Mother Yasoda, Father Nanda, Upananda, uncles, and big family, the cows and the calves, the trees, the Jamuna River. He is satisfied in that life. So at least those who are Krishna conscious, they should be satisfied with simple life in the village. That is part of Krishna consciousness. But it does not mean that we shall avoid city life or town life, not. Everything, every place is Krishna's place. Everywhere there should be Krishna consciousness. But if we keep ourselves within the village and properly organize, as Krishna personally showed us the example, he was personally taking care of cows and calves. And then he goes on to describe more of Krishna's activities. So it's, it also, you have to be, there's one quote that says it, living in village life, Prabhupada says, you have to be satisfied with the bare necessities. Now that gets kind of scary. We all think, okay, that's not for me. Bare necessities, what does that mean, a little too tough for me. But don't worry, Prabhupada later on, he says that, let's see if I can find it. Says, build little bungalows with modern conveniences. Okay? So everyone feels better about it now? All right. And another place he also, Jagadish is saying, but what about, and he goes, yes, you can have modern conveniences, we don't mind. So, so then we should understand that for some it might be too difficult to engulf this idea, that I'm so used to the comfort out there in the city life, but it doesn't work out that well for everybody. It's tough out there in the city, and to have jobs out there, it can be very difficult. And Prabhupada realized that when he started losing disciples. I remember when the first devotees moved out of the temple across the street, they're in Maya, the householders, and they had to get jobs and everything. And then, but people started getting entangled in the city life, and we lost a lot of devotees, and Prabhupada recognized that. So he suggested that we develop our villages, our farms. Even I think there was a question in Tamahar's class about why the youth aren't here. And I think he ended up saying it's very complex. That's the trouble. It's very complex. To live in the material world is complex. That's why Prabhupada wanted Varnashram to simplify our life and to make it so that we can think of Krishna more. Here's another quote. This is a discussion with Harisari. To enter into a city is so imposing on your consciousness. Prabhupada, up to that point, simply rubbish, all papers thrown here and there, people are living in. Now see here how it is open and pleasing. Organize this farm project. Farm. Harisari. He's just saying that in the West, one requires a great deal of capital to start a farm to get the land. You need a lot of money because land is very expensive. And also we have to use modern farming techniques because we have so few men to run the farms. Prabhupada, no, you show example. People will do automatically. When the people find it very nice, they will take. Harisari. Should we try to make an effort to have our householders go and live on the farms, a special effort, if it's ready to do that? Prabhupada, why householders? Everyone. Hare Krishna. Brahmasvar. In America, there is a very emphasis on getting people to join us by moving into our temples. The temple presidents are very eager to get as many people to move in as possible, but in the long run, most people cannot come up to the standard. Prabhupada, therefore, I'm advocating farms. Ramasvar, So they have to be encouraged to have a little bit of Krishna consciousness in their own home, make their home a temple. Prabhupada, no, let them go to the farm, New Vrindavan. it's a tall order. Let's see, where was I? There's some other quotes here also. But if you show that you are actually doing something ideal, then they will appreciate. Make a small unit community and show ideal life. Not idle life, ideal life. When you see ideal community is better than city life, people will take to it. And then he actually said that people, this could benefit the whole world, that actually people can become more peaceful if we can just show some kind of a example. So Prabhupada was thinking very, very big. He wasn't thinking small in regards to of this kind of a preaching. He was thinking very big. And he wanted us to do what we can. And especially in America, he expected us to lead. And he was very pleased when he saw some of our lame attempts and you know, some of our farms. We didn't quite do it right. But he definitely encouraged us. Why? Because he's our well-wisher. He wants the best for us. He wants us to become Krishna conscious. And he could see that, yes, I am losing devotees, therefore make these farms. And then some people said, but, you know, all the cities are so nice and we don't have to worry about it. Well, this is one little quotation. Job? They will be very soon jobless. Don't worry. That will come. They will be obliged to come. Now they have got job, but as days are advancing in Kali Yuga, they'll be jobless. They may or may not come. We don't care. Let us establish an ideal society. So Prabhupada wanted us to do it. There are many warnings. If you look in Scripture, look at the 12th canto coming up soon. Talk about scary. The end of this, you know, Kali Yuga, it's really scary. People are just having babies to eat them because they don't have anything else left. They've exploited everything off the planet. So it's very scary. And also Prabhupada, there's so many quotes here. Prabhupada saying, you're banking? Forget it. It's history soon. The whole system of economy is history very soon. Therefore, make these farms so that thousands of people will come. And they will. They will come. And we have to be ready to employ them. And that's why I got a little bit interested when, you know, Katrina hit and we were without water and electricity just like everybody else. And I thought, whew, people are going to come here. They're going to be in the same situation as all of us. We better do something. So playing around with some ideas. But, the difficult things are coming. And let's say, ladies, what's one of the most difficult things to do that you try to ignore, that you put off until you're more or less forced? Cleaning your refrigerator, right? God, I hate to clean the refrigerator. So many things in there, you got to take them all out, right? So many things. Well, I've been putting it off, and I've been putting it off. And the other day, I had nice, fresh, squeezed orange juice, and it spilt from the top all the way down. And so I was forced to do it, right? Men, the garage or the shed. You keep putting in things there for years, you don't know where they are, and then all of a sudden you smell a dead animal. I guess I got to go find it. I guess I got to go clean it, right? Or Keshava was out here yesterday. I'm sure you probably tried to put it off, and if we do put it off, it's big trouble. It backs up in your face, and that they were out there cleaning that grease trap. Oh, it was horrible. I mean, what came out of there? Not a pleasant thing to do. But it needs to be done. If it doesn't, the repercussions are bad. Right? How long can you live with a dirty refrigerator? So, Prabhupada has given us so many instructions. And we can ignore it. We can delay it. We can, what else you can do? You can just pretend it doesn't exist. But ultimately, we need to do something about it. Prabhupada said it was 50% of his work, and we haven't done it. I mean, we can leave it for the next generation. You ready for it? Organize our society, organize the government, organize everybody so everyone's being trained. We're completely self-sustained. We don't have to work out there in the material world. And we're totally Krishna conscious, like in Satya Yuga. All right, go for it. You're the leader, the next leader. She's the only one here. There's nobody else under 50 to help. I mean, we can do what we can, you know. I mean, many of us are writing it off. I did my 50%, you know, I did my sankirtan, I did my starting temples, I did this, I did that. Give me a break, you know. But Prabhupada, he didn't want to take a break. He wanted to tackle it also to the last dying days. No, I got to go to Gitanagari. I got to show them how to do this. So we should do what we can to do it, and then I guess pray that the next generation does something. But Prabhupada said that he actually was, he says, Varnashram College has to be established immediately to train for dividing everyone will be elevated to the, so they'd be elevated to the spiritual platform by the spiritual activities which we have prescribed. I am getting impatient, Prabhupada said. So imagine how impatient he is now that we still haven't done, don't have. He wanted Varnashram College in every single one of our centers to train people properly. So there's a lot of work to do. Let's see if I can find another one. Am I running out of time? He says, Rameshwar, you said, think in terms of the whole world, not just one nation. That is our preaching. So you are training us to think very big, global. And this is talking about the village life. Prabhupada, we keep the ideal style of life. You learn and do it. You learn and do it. He says, I'm not encroaching upon your independence, but if you want to be happy, you follow. This is our process. He says we don't force, but he's definitely encouraging us to do that. So we did try have some attempts, and some things are going on in different regards. I know Bhakta Raghuraswami is trying to establish some Varnashram schools. So Prabhupada is pleased with whatever we can do. And you can imagine how pleased he was when he expressed his pleasure, actually, when he went to the farms and he had the milk from the cows. He said, he was so proud. He said, yes, and this milk is from our cows. And they are happy cows because we take so nice care of them. And then he had vegetables from one person's garden, and he says that they're worth 100 times the value because they are homegrown. 100 times the value. So he's representing Krishna. So Krishna is thinking, yes, I want those vegetables out there more than from the truck that pulls in from Mexico that who knows what has been done. Who was it? It was Jaman Jaya would tell me he worked for a trucking company one time, and that he would drive all the way from the West Coast in California to bring the tomatoes, I think, to here, to Florida or somewhere out here in the East. And he had to, when he left, he had to, it was like a, what do you call those things, a grenade type thing? It's something he had to pull, and he threw this thing into the truck. He would close the door, and by the time they got here, they would be just right to put in the store. God knows what was in that thing that we're eating, that we're offering to the deities. So we have our choices. It's a lot of work. I'm not saying that it's not a lot of work, but so many things we can do to initiate some initiative to go in that direction. Hopefully we'll get some more encouragement by hearing about how this is a perfect society, Varnashram, that Krishna is displaying in his universal form. So anyone has any questions or comments or discussion?
What's the name of the school?
The Green School. The Green School. You can look it up. Trivikampur.
Very nice. So we're already in a farming community here. So many devotees have farms here. The temple needs regular flowers, regular vegetables. If each devotee could cultivate a little bit, it wouldn't take much. 3-4 flower trees, 5-6 vegetables. We could supply all the flowers and all the vegetables the temple needs. And so even if we start at that small scale, we can, you know, eventually increase. But yeah, so many devotees have land here, so hundreds of acres, whatever, you know. But we don't have, you know, we just start a little bit. 4-5 flower trees, 5-6 vegetables, every devotee.
Yeah,
we don't have to buy anything.
Yeah, we just lost our source of flowers over here. This biggest nursery in North Florida just went out of business. We got all our flowers that you see all out front here. And so now Madhurya Leelananda has got in her room, she's got all these little grow lights and all these little flats of trays. She's getting starting ahead of time, just trying to think where else on the property I could put flats of trays because I want to make our own flowers because I don't... So, yeah, if everyone had just... you know, a light in their house somewhere and start a few flats of trays, we could do the whole property here.
Thank you, Mother, for your class. Over the years, I see you've been doing trying to fulfill the wishes of your spiritual master. But I want to ask you a question. So what do you think we're lacking, resources or manpower?
You name it. And then double it. I think the interest.
Interest.
I think basically it's the interest. Because it's a foreign thing to us. It's not like we're asking people to go back into the caveman days or anything. I mean, people lived very simply 100 years ago. It's not, you know. But, you know, it's... I mean, I'm guilty of it, you know. It's... laziness too, my heating bill is going to be off the charts. I don't know. I'm sure everybody in this room, because of the last week of hellish, you know, on all day, unheard of in Florida to have your heat on all day, you know. And but I have a fireplace in that house. I could make a fire, but I'm lazy. So I think laziness is also it's an excuse. You know, we're spoiled. We're Kali Yuga brats. You know, I'm guilty as everybody else, you know. So it's, we might be forced, just like I was forced to clean out my refrigerator. We might be forced if Krishna pulls the plug one day and we can't get our vegetables from Mexico City, or we can't get our pistachios from Iran, or whatever we, you know. Or we can't get to Trader Joe's to buy our stuff because we don't have any fuel. A long walk. Plus, they don't have anything. So, I find it more of an interest. To tell you the truth, I find more of an interest in non-devotees in colleges in this department than I do amongst our own students. We just had a wonderful group of 26 people come here to see the Eco Farm on Sunday. Very interested. Oh, wow, yeah, that, a biogas digester. Wow, that's such a good idea. This such a nice idea. Yeah, we're coming here to help start community farm over in Gainesville. We want to donate our time to this because they're interested. And they see that, whoa, it's scary. Look what the president's doing. Look at this. Look at the climate change. Look at this. They're scared. Yeah, we're going to be out of here soon. I kept telling them, you know, it's not going to be my problem. I'm planting this pecan tree and trying to take care of it. And this gold is not. I'm not going to get any pecans out of it. It's the next generation, right? I'm not going to get anything out of what I'm doing. It's the next generation. So you all should be the concerned ones, and they should. They should be concerned. They should know a little bit more of the current events of what's going on out there. and we'll be reading the Bhagavatam. Yes. Allowed us.
You're right.
To so what do we do with this?
What do we do?
To me, it starts with land. You give the Grihastha land, then they can do something. But well, if you have no land to give, then
the biggest problem for us is the government, the codes department. They won't allow us.
Yeah,
it's a very big problem. I've worked with some other people trying to figure out where we could start such an ideal community, and Kentucky, Tennessee, where they're, you know,
they're not so uptight. Did you saw the advertisement recently that was on the site of the devotees MR for spiritual people? The Alachua is ready to give 212 acres to a nice project. Did you saw that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. But you should look over that.
But the limitations are, underneath, you know, in the fine print, only, you know, five people, you know, one family per 5 acres.
Okay.
Yeah. Reason why we can't have a retirement center over here, because it's the zoning. It's a big, big problem.
Yeah.
So I, instead of having to fight City Hall, I'm just doing just a little model.
Yeah.
Of what it could be like, and hopefully some people will be attracted. Prabhupada also said in here, you know, practically attract, make it attractive.
Yeah.
And so you can only do what we can do. You know?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And then finding 100 people that want to do such a thing with like-mindedness.
Yeah.
Good luck. You know, it's a challenge. It's
big. Yeah.
You got to start somewhere, you got to do something. But Alachua County, shooey.
Okay,
it's a tough one. Yeah, we could. I mean, we could have so many people here. Could house so many people. We have permission now for retreat cabins, you know, for 22 retreat cabins. But for living, tough. It's a shame. Okay. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.